Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
It's going down right here.
Oh, it's a big morning.
It sure is.
52 to 21, baby.
You gotta love it.
I'm a Steelers fan. I think they need to know that.
I don't get beat. I'm not a super fan. Like I once was. I'm still a fan at heart. And they look good. 22 of 25 for 328 and five scores. Does not get any better than that. It really does not get any better than that. Except for the fact that I played Matt Ryan over Ben Roethlisberger in a league. So how about them apples?
Well, Matt Ryan could throw for six. Who knows?
Yeah, I probably... should have played the Ben home card. I think that there was an opportunity there for him to pick on the Carolina defensive backs, who have actually played better as of late, but that is the one area of their defense where you can usually get to them. But unfortunately for the Panthers last night, I think that's a lot of Thursday night just sluggishness. I just think they were not ready to go. Not that they were totally unprepared. Like, you could just tell that wasn't a Carolina Panthers effort that they normally would give. But it's two games in a row now. I know they're up 35-7 on the Bucks, but the Bucks tore back into that game. They gave up 28 there, and now they just gave up 52. I understand that two of those touchdowns, one is a defensive touchdown, one is because of a fumble. Really a great play by Rosie Nix to knock that ball out of Curtis Samuel's hands when he's going down on that kick, on that kickoff return, on the kick return. But they just got scorched. They did. I mean, guys were wide open on some of these touchdowns. And they spread the ball around completely. They kicked only one field goal on the night, so seven touchdowns, and they spread it all the way around. You got James Conner with one. You got Antonio Brown with one. Juju Smith-Schuster, Vance McDonald, Jalen Samuels, and Jesse James. Jalen Samuels, a little dump-off pass to get him in the end zone for a cheeky touchdown pass. But they look good top to bottom. The good news is I own a lot. I own most of those players. I didn't play Ben in one league where I had him. I own James Conner everywhere, as I've mentioned. I got a league where I got Chris McCaffrey and Vance McDonald. I got a league where I got Juju Smith-Schuster and James Conner. I got a league where I got AB. So the Steelers are obviously a team you want to own. Well, Chris McCaffrey actually ends up, I'm looking at just ESPN scoring right now, he actually ends up with a slightly better night than Roethlisberger, which is hard to believe. But he comes up with 138 yards and the three touchdowns, on only 19 touches. So pretty efficient night for McCaffrey. We'd be talking more about him if it wasn't for the annihilation that the Steelers put on the Panthers last night.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, 52-21. Big Ben with more touchdowns than incompletions on the night. He's looking great. They spread it around. You know what I think is funny, Blewett? Everybody talks about how the New England Patriots basically use September as an extended preseason. You know what I mean? Yeah. And then, oh, they figure it out, and then they get on their roll. Why are people not saying the same thing about the Pittsburgh Steelers? They went 1-2-1 in the first month of the season, and everyone is like, the sky is falling, and now they're reeling off five straight. I think the AFC is coming a little bit clearer into focus. I think we know. I think we know, honestly. I'd be willing to bet you, Blewett, that I can name five of the six playoff teams right now in the AFC.
I can get you four. I'll get you the Steelers, the Pats, the Chiefs, and the Chargers.
Yeah, I'd be willing to say maybe the Texans as well as the AFC South champion.
That ain't over. I don't think that one's over.
Fair enough. But you don't think they could definitely be a wild card even if they don't win that division?
Sure. because
I think they're five of the six playoff teams.
Yeah, so we talked about the NFC playoff picture. So that's a good idea. Why don't we tee that one up for the second segment? We'll do the AFC playoff picture. We'll talk a little bit about
sounds good.
How the Texans are going to look coming out of the bye. So there's a lot to be decided there, but I think it's entirely possible that. You
know, yeah, and on this game, real quick, I was asking Scotty, you know, and he thought I was being outlandish, but I know you might be a little bit more on my side because you've told me that you drafted Christian McCaffrey number 8 overall this year
in some places,
right?
I think it might have been 10.
Right.
But
okay, fair enough. Like, this guy is a stud. This guy, like Ron Rivera said that they were going to give him 25 touches a game, and we laughed at it, you know, in the offseason, right? But it's starting coming to fruition. The difference between him and Alvin Kamara is purely touchdowns. How high could you see this guy going next year? Like, is it out of the realm of possibility for him to be a top 5 pick in PPR formats?
It's not out of the realm of possibility. I would gather, even at this moment, that he'd be outside of it, but it ain't.
Like, I'm taking him above David Johnson next year.
That would be a big debate because we don't know what the Cardinals are going to do to address their offensive line issues, right? And David Johnson can play a little bit better here down the stretch, but he's not going to have the year that Chris McCaffrey's having. And I would imagine he'd be just outside of the top 5, but it ain't crazy because right now, the guys he'd have in front of him for sure are Hunt,
Gurley,
Kamara.
Maybe Saquon.
Barkley. And then, but next year, you're not going to know what the Steelers thing looks like.
Exactly.
You could have both Connor and Bell in front of him.
You could.
I'm not saying definitely, but you're not going to know what that's going to look like. But right now, say Bell's just gone. He signs a free agency deal with somebody else. Would you put Connor in front of McCaffrey next year? You would, right?
I don't know. Maybe not in PPR formats.
It's a better offense.
Yeah.
Better offense. That's what you're relying on. They're getting there. They'll get.
Yeah, but that offense also has Antonio Brown, Juju Smith-Schuster, that sort of thing.
Yeah, they're going to be there next year.
Yeah, I don't know. I think Christian McCaffrey.
How many offenses in the league are better than this? Maybe two.
Three, maybe? Yeah, sure. I mean, two. New Orleans, Kansas City, and the Rams, maybe?
All right, I'll say that. So they're top 5 offense. Let's give us.
Sure, absolutely.
There. You want to say New England?
Yeah,
when
New England. Yeah.
But that's it.
I could see the Chargers on their A game. But yes, absolutely.
But if you would take the Steelers now over the Chargers. Sure, the Chargers play a great game. They can blow people out. But, you know, the Steelers, when they're running on all cylinders, look like they looked last night. It's the highest scoring. They've never scored that many points in Heinz Field, so I get it. I don't want to pick
great the offensive line.
That's really a big component of it too, right? You and I try to reference it as much as possible, but
it's true.
That offensive line is really good, and they've been playing without Marcus Gilbert for periods of time, but DeCastro and Pouncey's getting up there in years, but DeCastro is just, you know, he's the dude. And Al Villanueva is legit as well. So, and what I have noticed over the years is that I think talent clearly is a component to offensive line play, but when you have an offensive line that has players that have stuck around for a long period of time together, you start to see those units play really well. So you get a bunch of, knock wood, injury-free football from Pouncey and DeCastro, and Villanueva is there, and Gilbert comes back, and Ramon Foster's there. Those guys have been around now a few years. So that's why it doesn't matter as much that Bell is out, because these guys are better than most of the defensive lines that they play. They just are. It's one of the best offensive lines in the league. You might be able to argue now it's the best.
And you know what the other thing is? You make the point about their time together and building chemistry and that sort of stuff, and I completely agree with you. The other thing that I have said a bunch of times, and I think I made this point to you in the offseason, was they're not weak or below average in any one of the 5 spots. You know what I mean? And that is, I think, really important in this day and age. I made the point where, like, I believe that paying the left tackle and the blind side is a maybe going to come to an end, because when you see all these exotic blitzes, when there's a weak link in the offensive line, that's where they're going to blitz. You know, you're only as strong as your weakest link of the chain kind of thing. And the Pittsburgh Steelers are good across all five, and that's really important also. There are some offensive lines where, you know, even Philly or Dallas or Oakland, where they have like one bad spot and then that can be attacked. There's no weakness like that on the Pittsburgh offensive line.
Yeah, so let's clean up the rest of this box score as I continue to pat the Steelers on the back. James Conner, 13 of 65, and the rushing touchdown in the air. He only catches the one pass for 8 yards. Antonio Brown was 6 of 96 with the touchdown. Juju, 3 of 90 with the touchdown. First play from scrimmage, boom, 75-yard score coming back off the McCaffrey touchdown. Vance McDonald, who had a bagel at halftime, and I was like, oh, man, did I make a mistake here? He goes 4 of 44 and a touchdown. You know what? He's awesome, and he's becoming a cult hero.
It's true.
He's going to get hurt doing that.
Is he?
He's trying to drag the entire team across first down.
He's never going to get hurt. He's made of the same thing Adrian Peterson's made of. It's all good. Vance does not get hurt.
I mean,
Vance smash.
It's funny because he's obviously like a ridiculously athletic dude, but
right.
I just, every time I see it, I'm like, man, you got the first down. Like, let's just get down here. You might fumble or even worse, get hurt because a sixth guy is going to try to tackle you. There's just always one or two plays like that a game. He's now going to be forever remembered for what he did to Chris Conte, but
he is
trying to do these types of things on a weekly basis. It's just very funny. So
Chuck Norris and Bears fear Vance McDonald.
Pretty much. So you actually got a lot of work for those backups last night. Stephen Ridley catches the ball 8 times. Jalen Samuels overall touched the ball 8 times, and he has the touchdown reception.
Vulturing production from James Conner.
Yeah, crazy legs. Roethlisberger, 3 carries for 27 yards. He had the 18-yarder, which resulted in the hit from Eric Reed. Like, of all the guys. You know,
I know.
Like, all the guys.
I know.
So, you know what I'm talking about. I know you're going to get into it, but 3 of 20. He had a nice little run there. He did go down kind of late, but Reed has to know. You can't lean in on that. He's going down. Just touch him down. Don't throw an elbow. And, dude, I think it was a little eyebrow-raising that he got ejected, but the end result was you elbowed the quarterback in the head as he was sliding. So what do you want me to do? Like, obviously, DeCastro and those guys defended Ben well.
Right.
And I thought Reed did a solid by giving Ben a pound on the way
going
out.
Going right, when he came off, giving him a pat on the back.
Because was the elbow thrown, like, maliciously to try and drive his head into the ground? I didn't see it. Remember when Joe Flacco got knocked out, like, last year?
Yeah.
I mean, that was brutal. That was a purposeful hit to the head, and they knocked him out.
I don't think that was this was that, though.
Exactly right. I don't think
I think
that.
This was, like, flow of the game.
Careless
trying to be right.
Just a careless play.
Yes.
And
reckless, not malicious.
That's right. When you're careless like that, you got to pay the price. And it was dumb. He could have just pulled up and touched him. Like I said, end result is elbow to the head of the sliding quarterback. You can get kicked out for that. That's just that's the basics of it. I don't think he's a dirty player, and I don't want to get into the political stuff either. Because it's got nothing to do with what happened on the field. So go ahead.
Hey, listen, Blewett, you know, we talk about the props builder tool over at mybookie.ag. What kind of odds do you think I could have got if I would have bet the prop or made the prop that Big Ben would have more rushing yards last night than Cam Newton?
That would have been a legit one.
I could have got some cash on that, you think? I could have got some cash on that.
Cam only 2 for 10. Ben beat that with that one run.
Maybe maybe Ben saw Cam on the other side and was like, you know what? Everybody talks about us as these 250-pound quarterbacks, and I see you running. Let me show you how it's really done, Cam.
Yeah, I mean, Cam's numbers, 23 of 29 for 193, the 2 scores.
The completion percentage still there.
He did.
The game's got away from him.
He didn't even really have a chance. The game didn't get away from him. The Steelers didn't punt until the middle of the third quarter, I think. But the interception was ridiculous. I know that he's going to take a safety there. Then just take the safety. What are you doing? That was a Jameis throw. That was a Jameis Winston throw.
A DeSean Kaiser.
Yeah, like, what are you doing? Even Greg Olsen is like, what is this? It's 10 yards over my head. And the Steelers just easily picked it off and ran it back. So just a silly play, which honestly, I'm not going to call it the momentum shift, but it contributed to the onslaught that began. So it was 31-14 at halftime, and it didn't get closer. So as far as their receivers are concerned, good luck with any of those guys. I'm glad I'm not in on any of it. Four catches for Samuel for 18 yards, four catches for Moore for 20 yards, three catches for 22 for Jairus Wright, three catches for 32 for Devin Funchess, and four for 40 for Olsen. Olsen's really the only guy. Olsen and McCaffrey are the only guys I have on the Panthers on across any of my teams. I was worried about this wide receiving core going into the year, and it is what I thought it was, I guess. To your point, it's that you often make, it's the fantasy herd, but you can't get anything out of any of these guys on a regular basis.
No, I would say this, though. If you're in a dynasty league, I'd be very interested in DJ Moore moving forward, though.
Yeah, of course. I actually think there's something there for Curtis Samuel, too. But
yeah, absolutely.
I just don't
know. I think they're changing it.
What I don't know is how can they both survive for fantasy players long-term, Samuel and Moore?
Here's what I would say. I think they're evolving, the Panthers. And I've made this point before, I think to you, Blewett, or maybe to Scotty. You know, early in Cam's career, everyone knew he had accuracy issues, right? And, yeah. and early in his career, they tried to mitigate it by getting catch radius guys, you know, Kelvin Benjamin, Devin Funchess, Greg Olsen. Now I think with North Turner, they're going about it in a different way, you know, trying to get the ball out of the hands to guys like McCaffrey, guys like Samuel, guys like DJ Moore. And I think after yet another offseason next year where I'd be willing to bet that Greg Olsen retires, right? And I don't know, I think if they move along in this direction, I think Funchess kind of goes down in the pecking order. And I do think that Samuel and McCaffrey and DJ Moore are going to be kind of the guys that Carolina wants in this offensive scheme moving forward.
It would be interesting, though, to have players that are all relatively smaller targets when you have a noted inaccurate quarterback.
Right.
I think Funchess and Olsen help him in that regard. And Olsen, he's not quite said it, but it seems like he may be in the last eight games or plus of his career. And then if Funchess were to be moved out of it, then you have Cam targeting smaller players again. Now, to your point, maybe most of these throws are closer to the line of scrimmage and you're taking advantage of shorter pass routes as opposed to, look, everybody's completion percentage is going up because of shovel passes and screen passes and more effective offenses running like that. But it would have to be a shift completely, and maybe it's already happening, his throws happening closer to the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. I think we're in the middle of an evolution, and I think North Turner's approach to help Cam's accuracy is get the ball out of his hands quicker, get the ball in the hands of these kind of guys, Samuel, Moore, McCaffrey, and let them get that yak.
They're going to need a tight end in the draft at some point. I know he's got
they like
guy,
that kid Ian Thomas, I think.
Yeah, so we'll see what he develops into long term. So, all right, I'm done bragging. They covered it, went over. Easy.
Yep.
So we'll come back. We'll talk about the AFC playoff picture after this.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
Indeed knows it's hard to find qualified candidates when you're hiring.
It's like finding a unicorn.
But when you post your job on Indeed, it's easy to find people with the skills you need.
Nurse practitioner, 4+ years experience, acute care certification.
Indeed has a huge pool of amazing candidates and screener tools that help you find your most qualified applicants.
Whoa, an entire shortlist of unicorns.
See why more than 3 million companies worldwide use Indeed to hire. Post your job at Indeed.com/hire. Indeed, the world's number one job site. Source.com score total visits.
If you're someone that needs fantasy sports advice every day, the Fantasy Sports Radio Network has you covered. When you download the FNTSY Sports Radio Network app, you get the top fantasy advice every single day right through the weekend. Be sure to listen to our weekend warriors like College Football Today.
Welcome to College Football Today.
Weekend Fantasy Update.
They call me the Fantasy Jesus.
In this league,
it is never short of exciting at ITL.
And so much more. Download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app in the iTunes and Google Play Store now. And keep the best fantasy experts right in your pocket all day long and all week long.
Fantasy Freestyle.
If the Seahawks don't have Doug Baldwin, I don't think they're covering no 10 points. Because when they're down by 10, inevitably, in the third quarter, how is the back door going to be open if Russell Wilson's favorite option, Doug Baldwin, is not there? Tyler Lockett?
Maybe.
David Moore?
Maybe.
This is a team that is running the ball, the Seattle Seahawks. 60% of the time, they are running the ball more than any team in the NFL. So when the greatest show on surf gets up on them in the third quarter, are they really equipped to kind of battle back?
Tuesday and Thursday, 10 p.m. Eastern on FNTSY Radio and on your popular podcast providers.
Football Friday on FST. If you enjoy playing daily fantasy sports or are sick of dealing with props, with pros using algorithms to select hundreds of lineups and entries, try the Props Builder tool at mybookie.ag. Forget having to create multiple lineups, ditch the hassle of dealing with late scratches, and avoid experts winning 90% of the cash. Invest in the players that you want without salary caps. And if you sign up for a new account using the promo code FNTSY, you can receive a 50% deposit bonus. No more dealing with late lineup scratches and no experts to compete against, just you and the prop that you choose. Go to mybookie.ag, enter promo code FNTSY upon sign up, and choose your matchups using the Props Builder tool. That's mybookie.ag, promo code FNTSY. If you're hitting us up on Twitter, do so at FNTSY Radio, or at Spittin' Speeds for Dane, or at Mike Blewett for me. For those of you listening on TuneIn Radio, on iHeartRadio, on the Fantasy Sports Radio app, which is free to download, free to listen, thank you. Appreciate you coming in. So, anyway, AFC playoff picture, Dane.
Yeah.
Talked about the NFC playoff picture yesterday. I'm reading some really funny stuff about the Le'Veon Bell stuff and how they...
Let me ask you this.
They didn't know...
Where do you think he watched this game? Like, could you have been at a bar in Pittsburgh and, like, look across and see Lev Bell there? I guess he's not at a bar. But, like, could you have been at the gym and on the treadmill and look and seen Le'Veon Bell, like, working out during the game?
I think
he was tweeting during the game.
I think if he went to a bar, I think you'd want to be around knuckleheads and all this.
Fair enough. Going on. So maybe he's at a private gym somewhere. Doing
could be
some
at a
Pilates.
Private gym. Could be at your palatial apartment or house. Sure. I don't know what he lives
sure.
in. An apartment
sure.
or house.
So, the compound.
Yeah, I'm sure he's doing. I mean, I expect to see him by Tuesday, but I say that with like a 51% level of confidence.
So does Art Rooney.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'll go with Art on this one. Anyway, so AFC playoff picture.
Yeah.
Right now, New England's 7-2. They got a 2-game lead in the AFC East. They play Tennessee this weekend, which is a big one. It's a big game. It really is. It's big for me.
Well, for your Titans, yeah.
It's big for the Titans. 1 o'clock, New England coming in. Let me get the spread on that one. That one is currently
six and a half. Yep. Home dog, 6.5.
I'm torn on this one because I do think that you're still getting the Patriots at a discount, mm-hmm. but it's such a big game for the Titans that I wonder if they could keep it close. Vrabel.
You think?
Vrabel is interesting there. I mean, Belichick normally dominates guys that...
Yeah, revenge game for both Vrabel and Dion Lewis, right?
Why is it a revenge game for Vrabel?
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Why is it a revenge
game for Vrabel? Former Patriot. Maybe he wants to show his old coach. Maybe he wants to show his old coach what he's got. Yeah, fair enough. And here's the other thing, and Dr. A said it. You know how Dr. A's general outlook, but with the Patriots having a Week 11 bye, blew it, I really think they may sit Gronk again. Lose the battle to win the war.
Yeah, I think him and Michelle.
Right, and with Michelle as well, you know. So if Michelle and Gronk are out, and it's in Tennessee, and it's such a big game for the Titans, I could see you taking the points here.
Yeah.
And the Titans make everybody play ugly in Tennessee.
That they do.
I stand corrected, by the way. Vrabel was with New England from 2001 to 2008 and then went to Kansas City for a couple of years. So technically, this can be a revenge game because he didn't retire with the Pats. So, so that's an interesting one. But New England at 7-2, Pittsburgh at 6-2-1 now. Cincinnati is on a bye this week.
No, they're not. They were on a bye last week.
I'm sorry.
They're hosting the New Orleans Saints.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Sorry, I messed that up. So Bengals do host the Saints at 1, so that's a huge one, obviously, for them. The Ravens are off, correct?
That's true. The Ravens are off. Pittsburgh just played already, yeah.
So just trying to get a sense of how that division shakes out. Yeah. But the Steelers could have a nice little – cushion here. They're already three ahead in the loss column on the Ravens, and then Cincinnati. They could
Bengals
be
at 5-3
in the loss column, right? Yeah. So you got Houston here. They're on a bye, 6-3. Tennessee at 4-4. Again, you don't want them to fall to 4-5. But then the Colts in Jacksonville there. But you could conceivably have the Houston Texans at 6-3, and then three teams at 4-5 after this weekend behind them. Kansas City at 8-1. Chargers at 6-2. Denver at 3-6. Oakland at 1-7. I think you can count out Denver and Oakland at this point. So, you know, as you said earlier, it is starting to come into shape. You got New England, Pittsburgh, Houston, Kansas City, and the Chargers are clearly in the picture right now.
Yeah.
Even if they somehow fall out of it, they're in the picture now and will remain so for at least the next month plus. So the teams you're looking at right now, you know, Miami is still a surprising 5-4, but I think people expect the chickens to come home to roost on that team. And, you know, what are they right now? And, can they be competitive? They have another tough one here going to Green Bay. One of America's games, I think, probably. Is that the America game of the week?
Is that the game of the week?
No, the Hawks-Rams would probably
be. Seahawks-Rams, probably.
Yeah. So
Seahawks-Rams,
So, you know, Miami's got a tough one. The Bengals have a really brutal one here. The Tennessee, it's funny, these second place teams all have brutal games. Miami and Cincinnati and Tennessee. So as of right now, what are your expectations? I mean, the four teams that we ripped off at the top, New England, Pittsburgh, Kansas City, Chargers.
Yep.
I think they're going to make it.
Yep. And I think here's two interesting things that I'll come off of this. One is you got to think the Chargers are going to wind up being – the five seed, right? The number one wild card. Yes, I know they could still win the division, but Kansas City seems to have their number. I'll give Kansas City the West, but I'll also give the Chargers the number one wild card right now. You know, they could very easily be an 11-5, 12-4 kind of number one seed going to what I'll say would maybe at this point would be Houston in a wild card matchup. I would take the Chargers over Houston in that matchup. We know about the Houston offensive line blew it, and they're going to have Ingram and Bosa ready to go by then, right? So I would love to get that action right now, to be quite honest. Give me the Chargers on wild card weekend. The other thing I'm going to say is, right now, if I had to pick my two wild card teams, it would be the Chargers, and I would lean towards the Cincinnati Bengals. And the reason I'm going to say this is because I'm not making this a pick. Blew it. It's not one of my three official ones, but I really could see this being the trap game for the New Orleans Saints. Okay, they are coming off their huge home win in the NFC against the Los Angeles Rams. Now they go on the road, outdoors, non-conference opponent to a team that's coming off a bye that needs it to hang into the playoff hunt. Look at the schedule for the Saints. Blewett, next week they host the Philadelphia Eagles. That is another big-time NFC playoff matchup. I could see this week the Saints smelling themselves, reading all their pest clippings, signing Dez Bryant. I could see this being a trap game in Cincinnati. I am tempted to bet Cincy plus 5.5. I'm not going to make it one of my official picks, but I want it out there that I can see this being the trap game for the Saints.
I hate having the number at 5.5 there.
I know.
So the Bengals are coming off the bye, but they're going to be missing A.J. Green. I would also note that it's not a trap game for them, but they are looking down the barrel of going to Baltimore next week too. So I think they're going to feel some level of desperation to potentially win this game before they have to go to Baltimore. People can talk about the Ravens all they want, but in the divisional matchups, particularly in that division,
those are
rough games. So, something to consider as well. It eases up a little bit after that. They'll play the Browns and the Broncos, then they go to the Chargers. I guess the tougher part about their schedule after these couple of weeks is that they have to go to LA, then host Oakland, then go to Cleveland, and then go to Pittsburgh. So they're closing it out with three of four road games, even though one of them is against the Browns. You know, we don't know exactly what the Browns are going to look like the rest of the way.
Yeah, that's true. I just think everybody, and also you mentioned that line is 5.5 Cincy New Orleans. Yeah. I can see waiting. I think the public is going to be so on these Saints. I can see this line moving to 6 or even 6.5. I'm telling you right now, if it gets to 6.5, I might take the Bengals.
Yeah, I think I would wait there as well. So, okay. So to continue the playoff picture, so you like the Bengals to make it here?
I like them as the wild card too. And then what would be in my you know, extrapolation out? I know we're going far here. That would be Cincy going to Pittsburgh on wild card weekend, in my opinion.
Fine with me.
Right. I think it would be Cincy at Pittsburgh and Los Angeles at Houston. And I think
revenge.
That Chargers-Texans game would be amazing.
Ultimate kind of revenge for the Bengals, because I think these teams are going not necessarily in opposite directions, but I think the Steelers are showing that they're a much better team than Cincinnati right now. So the AFC South is really the funky one.
Right.
Because I think people are – did Dr. A say that he Fournette is back and he's like expecting him to be fine? Was that what that conversation was about?
Yeah. That is what that conversation was about, which is very interesting. And that's an interesting game. Do you think the winner of the Jags-Colts game is in it at 4-5?
Yeah.
In that division, right? Because we could see, you know, like you're saying, we could see Houston, you know, trip up at any time. They're on a bye right now. Tennessee has a very tough game, as you know, like they could wind up being 4-5 after this game. The winner of that Jacksonville Colts game is going to be 4-5. And, you know, if let's say the Bengals do lose at 5-4, the Dolphins could lose, you know, Baltimore on bye. The winner of this game is right there, would be at worst, I think, like one game back of a wild card spot.
Yeah, looking at the Houston schedule, they're at their bye, as we said, this week. But coming up, you're at Washington. Then they get a nice they get a stretch of home games. I can't call them necessarily easy, but it's not murderer's row. So after Washington, they have Tennessee on a Monday night game at home. Then they have Cleveland at home. Then they have Indianapolis at home. Then they go to the Jets, go to Philly, and close with the Jaguars. So
right.
The four-week stretch coming off the bye, I wouldn't call it easy, but when we look at a lot of pockets of schedules, they get a lot tougher than this. Washington is going to be reeling with all these injuries, conceivably. Tennessee, I mean, they might be playing a 4-5 Tennessee team.
The three straight home games there.
Yeah, they might be playing like a 5-5 Tennessee team. So,
And then at the Jets, the fifth game is not a challenge either. There's a universe where they could rip off five in a row here and announce themselves.
They've already ripped off six in a row. So
that
would be
it's crazy.
I mean, for them,
an 11-game win streak. Imagine that, to start the season 0-3 and then find themselves at 11-3. And that's actually possible with this schedule, the way it breaks out.
And what's wild is they started this streak with winning two overtime games at Indianapolis and versus Dallas. So they just slogged their way through those first five games. Granted, the schedule eased up for them, but it doesn't matter. Like, you play who you play. Like, their wins are against Indy, Dallas, Buffalo, at Jacksonville, Miami, and at Denver. It's not, again, it's not the toughest stretch. And I think they've gotten some breaks with the schedule this year. But part of that is because the division isn't as good as we anticipated. Right. So let me take a quick look at the Jags schedule the rest of the way as we continue taking a look at the AFC playoff picture. They're coming out of their bye. They're at Indianapolis. Then they have the Steelers. That's going to be a huge game. And I know I keep saying that, and I'm trying not to do so much hyperbole, but if the Jags win this week, they'll be 4-5.
Yeah.
And then having the Steelers come to town to try and get to 5-5 and try to get back, as you like to say, on the good foot, Like mm-hmm. that game would go a long way for them to prove, like, hey, we're not going away. We just beat this team. It would have been three times in a row. We beat the Steelers. We're just as good as them and everybody else in the AFC.
If they do that and get to 6-5, then the schedule kind of opens up for them.
Yes.
You know, it's at Buffalo, Indy. Home for Indy, yeah.
That's right. At Tennessee, Washington, at Miami, at Houston. So, again, I haven't counted them out. I know people are dismissing them. The Colts are the team in that division that I just don't think has the horses for the long run. In my over-under competition, one of the guys is looking extremely solid for getting three wins. He's got the Bills under, the Rams over, and the Bengals over.
Mm-hmm.
The one that is in the balance is the Colts, and he's got it at over 6.5. So tell me, what do you think is going to happen? Jacksonville. Well, he's got Jacksonville.
I had the Jags schedule up. Let me get the Colts schedule up right.
See, I'm going to dictate it to you. So they're 3-5 right now. They're just coming off their bye. They host Jacksonville.
They're 3-point favorites. They're 3-point favorites this weekend. I know. You know, and Andrew Luck has been good. Jack Doyle is back there. You know what? I think Indy wins on Sunday. I honestly do.
I think they dropped the Jags to 3-6.
I could see that happening. Like, you know, the Colts have gotten a lot of pressure on the quarterback. Blake Bortles gives it up. I don't believe Leonard Fournette is all of a sudden going to reel off a 135-yard effort.
If the Jags season continues to, like, if that happens and the Jags season continues
it's gonna spiral
a little bit and they end up, say they end up 7-9. Just
okay.
Call it that.
Sure.
I think Coughlin's going to clean house in not getting rid of a whole bunch of players, but he's going to know that he doesn't have the coach and the quarterback. And then they're going to start from there. They'll have the defense built up. They'll have Fournette, the investment in the offensive line, and they're going to go get a young quarterback. The only caveat is that they could go do a Teddy Bridgewater thing. But
you don't think he thinks Marone is his guy because he's like so philosophically aligned?
It's a good question.
Like, yeah, I agree with you with the quarterback.
They've known each other for a long time.
But I don't know that.
Both Syracuse guys.
Yeah,
so.
I don't know that he drops the hammer on Marone. I think he sees this as we didn't have our stud running back. There was so much drama. I think they hit the reset button at quarterback. But I think they're still building their organization, their identity. And I think Coughlin likes what he's got there. I think what they would do is, you know, draft a kid, right? And who knows? Like, and then have a kind of bridge guy, whether that's a Fitzpatrick McCown, a Flacco. I think Flacco could be in the conversation there as a bridge kind of guy. And then there's always the Tyrod, the Teddy Bridgewaters of the world. Or
Teddy Bridgewater, though, of all those names, those veteran names that we mentioned, is the guy most likely that there's going to have to be a commitment. Like, it's
okay.
Teddy's not going to be – Teddy and his agent won't be looking for a one-year prove-it deal.
Sure. Here's what I think is – Here's what I think is the perfect name, honestly, and would fit what Tom Coughlin and Doug Marone would want Flacco. To do. No, I think Tyrod.
That's interesting.
You don't have to commit to him big time. You can still have a kid behind him, and Tyrod will be safe with the ball for that running and defense.
Indy's got the Jags, Titans, Dolphins, at Jags, at Houston, Dallas, Giants, and at Tennessee. I'll get Dean's thoughts on that. After. I want to see how many wins you get the Colts, and then we'll do our picks. It's Mike and Dane on FST. We'll be right back.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Dad, what are you doing?
Cramming for college.
I'm the one going to college.
Yeah, but we need to figure out how we're going to pay for it all.
Discover student loans.
Discover does student loans?
Yeah, they're one of the top student loan lenders in the country. It takes 15 minutes or less to apply, and there are no fees for the life of the loan. Best of all, I can earn cash rewards if I get good grades.
Really?
Yeah, we still have time to apply and get a great rate.
So I can just chill. College kids still say that, right?
No one says that, Dad.
Really?
Yeah. Visit discoverstudentloans.com to apply today. Limitations apply.
Calling all drivers. Want a career that will take you places? Then Coach USA and Megabus is the place for you. Coach USA and Megabus, leaders in the local and intercity bus transportation industry, are looking for career-minded, conscientious drivers with a valid CDL Class A or B license with passenger endorsement. They offer paid training, competitive salary, and many benefits. Apply now and start driving to a better future. Visit CoachUSA.jobs. That's CoachUSA.jobs.
Game time decisions.
Yeah, it's nothing but pot shots on Twitter.
Yeah, I know. Everyone's thinking, it's like, come on. Like, you know, we're trying to, everyone taking pot shots at us. You know, we're just trying to do the, I like your gift, though. That was good.
I've been in that situation before, and it sucks.
I just want to say, well, I don't need, like, I'm having a good time. But Yang's like, no. I want to get paid for the, you know.
we all want to get paid, buddy. It's crossed
my mind, too, right?
Weekdays, 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific. Only on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Welcome back to FST right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Mike Blewett and Dane Martinez. We're getting into week 10 of the NFL and the fantasy football season. We were just looking at the AFC playoff picture. We were talking about Thursday night football where Big Ben had more touchdowns than incompletions, and he outrushed Cam Newton, for goodness sakes. Yeah. Mike Blewett is back with us. Hey, Blewett, we're talking about the AFC South. Remember, I've got the Colts and the Titans plus 10 regular season wins against the Jags and the Texans for Scotty Engel. So I'm looking good in that bet, huh?
Jags and Texans. So right now you have 9 wins, and he's got 9 wins. You've got 7.
Yeah, but I've got plus 10.
So if he ran the table and the Texans won all 7 of their games, that would make them 13-3. And the Jags...
Well, they can't all run the table because they got to play each other division games.
True.
They can't all run the table.
Right. So, say, I think the Jags and the Texans have already played one time. So, let's give the Jags all the other wins.
sure.
So, 13 wins there. And then the Jags, with 8, take one off. So, they win 7 games. They go 10-6. So, you'd have 23.
That's his max.
It's an absolute max. It's both teams running the table.
Winning out, yes.
And right now you're at 7.
Sure.
So you'd have some work to do if that happened.
Right. If they ran the table,
they still
absolutely
need 6 wins. But what I'm telling you is your magic number is 6. It's technically 7,
and to be honest,
I guess.
No, I think it's less because if I have the Colts and the Titans, if they play each other again, someone's going to win that game.
You could tie, but you would have so technically, yeah. If they, you'd have
5
two
and a half
wins.
Is my magic number. I think.
I think so. I think
so. I think
right.
I'm sitting pretty on that one. You want to look at the Colts schedule before?
Yeah, what a weird bet that was. So yeah. So the Colts at 3-5. Jacksonville.
I think they're going to win this week at home. I think they're going to win in Indy. I really do, Scott. And Vegas does too. They're
You're
minus 3.
Here.
They're
me.
Minus so, 3. Vegas thinks the same as I do.
I get it. Screw Vegas. So all Tennessee right. Titans after that. These are all
lost.
Home games.
Okay. Lost to Tennessee. Win the Jacksonville.
Right,
lose
so
to Tennessee.
4-6 you have them at. Then they play. Then they host Miami.
Win.
5-6. At Jacksonville.
Loss.
At Houston.
Loss.
5-8 you have them. Then they host Dallas and the Giants.
Win.
Damn it. That's it. You just gave them 4 wins.
I did. How about that? And then I think they would lose at Tennessee week 17. I just think with Dallas and the Giants, those, again, non-conference home games, and those teams are not going to have much to play for at this part of the season, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think it's setting up. Nobody's ever in this competition gone 4-0, and I think he's going to go 4-0. He's got really 3. The only thing that could conceivably happen is that the Bengals totally fall apart, but at this point they have 5 wins. He's got over 6.5. So
they'd
really have to fall. It'd really have to fall apart. I just don't see.
Yeah, they'll get
to. So anyway, so
let's make some picks.
Let's do it. Let's get to your picks first. I'm looking on the FanDuel Sportsbook for the spread.
Absolutely. So and to recap, you had a great week last week. Blew it. You went 3-0. I went 2-1. I am still narrowly ahead of you, though, for the season. Just to recap,
I don't know why we didn't talk about yesterday's game. I'm just thinking about it. I really liked the over last night.
Yeah,
I thought the Steelers would cover, but I mean, honestly, I picked the game on our other show. And it was 28.
Yep, me too.
28-24.
Oh, really?
I thought the game would be last night. I certainly didn't see 52 points happening. So yeah, you're
narrowly
ahead of me.
Yeah, on Fantasy Freestyle, which is on right before Thursday Night Football, my pick was Pittsburgh and the over, so I was on that one. I am narrowly ahead of you. After 9 weeks, we pick three every time, so that's 27 picks in total. I am 15-12, three games over. You are 14-12-1. You had a push back in week 6. You had Minnesota against Arizona, minus 10. They did, in fact, win by 10. Our guy Scott Engel, though, is underwater at 9-18, but I digress. I'm going, my first pick, we made a pick and we agree already. We've both made a pick that we agree. We are both taking the Chargers minus 10 on the road at Oakland. We think Oakland is an unraveling dumpster fire that are making business decisions and don't care about their coach. And we all think the Chargers are, as you know, I like to say, hitting their stride and getting on the good foot. Dr. A said Joey Bosa may even come on back. I don't think they need him in this one. Give me the Chargers minus 10 at Oakland.
I think I already said that I'm in on that one too, right?
Yep. So you're on that one as well. Absolutely. So I'll give you another one. you may not agree with this one, Blewett, but I am riding the Nick Mullins train. All right. Give me the San Francisco 49ers on Monday night. Here's the thing. We talk about how the Oakland Raiders are tanking and all this stuff. I think the Giants are going to put about as much pride and heart into that one as well. I want the home team on Monday Night Football. And here's the other thing that you may I'm breaking out another science narrative.
I heard you talking about it. Yeah. Go ahead. Float it here. Yeah.
Sure. People always talk about the West Coast teams flying east for a 1 o'clock game. I literally know a sleep scientist, and I've had him on my show Fantasy Freestyle before, and he said to me that what is actually an even bigger impact to the body clock is the reverse, a team from the East Coast flying west and playing a night game. And it doesn't happen as much, but the stats are even more heavily in favor of the West Coast team hosting an East Coast team at night than a West Coast team flying east for the 1 o'clock game. So that's another feather in my cap.
Here's
I'm
my
on Nick Mullins. Give me the Niners minus 3. Go ahead.
Here's my counter to that. It is 8:15 Eastern that they are playing it. It is not as if it is they're playing 8:15 Pacific time. So yes, it's a night game, and that does impact the body clock, but it is no different to the body clock conceivably if they played a night game here in New York versus the
it's not like it's 11 p.m., right?
That's right. Now, if that were to happen, and I'm sure that has happened in some examples. I remember this happened to – I remember it was like Rutgers football a bunch of years ago where their first week of the year, they had to go play like Fresno or something like that like a 10 p.m.
San Diego State or something,
Eastern game. And they complained and tried to get the time moved and all that kind of stuff, but they lost. But the reality was it was too much to ask. The body clock at that point was, you know, it's like 1 a.m. Eastern
time,
and they're still playing football. So, you know, especially football players, which are they're very routine-oriented people. So I'm not with you on the Giants-Niners game. I understand everything you're talking about. But I've said before that while the Giants have unraveled and may continue to unravel, I don't think it's a Raiders situation where everybody knows that the coach doesn't care. Like I think they're digging in and trying to win games. They haven't been, for the most part, non-competitive. It wasn't a good outing when they played Atlanta last time out. But nonetheless, I think they can challenge the Niners here to at least keep it close. So I won't pick that game.
That's fair.
I am tempted to pick New England, even though I have
against
said,
the boys.
I'm tempted, but I can't do it because the Titans are my boys. I still think we're getting New England at a discount, but it's such a big game for the Titans. I wonder if they can keep it close. I have my doubts. I really should just lay it on New England because I think we're getting them at a discount. I think there's a couple of teams that I see out here that are at a little bit of a discount. That is a that is not an easy place to play in Seattle, but Green Bay really needs this game. Do you think Green Bay is a bad team?
I don't know. I think Green Bay is a average team that has a generational talent at quarterback.
Yeah. Generational. Jeez. I mean, beyond.
Yeah.
It's like the best.
I think it's one of the best. Yeah, sure. There
Wait, what
go.
Is this? Wait, why am I reading the wrong thing here?
What do you
Why does
that
have
know.
It
what
listed? Oh, I see what I did there. Yeah, they have on the FanDuel Sportsbook that I'm looking at, they have the Thursday night game for next week listed.
For next week.
Scrolling down. And I'm
reading
the wrong
game. Right, so you saw Green Bay, Seattle. Right.
Anyway,
no.
Forget everything
Green
I
Bay
said.
Minus 10.
Just
Green
now.
Bay minus 10 at home against Miami is what we're looking at. I mean, if you want to make that pick already for next week, go right ahead. But,
no,
but
no.
I think the
let
line
me see
might
what happens
move.
First. Yeah, let me see what happens first.
But
you picked
so you
Philly,
want that
right?
Green Bay-Miami game? Yeah, I think listen, I think Philly puts them to bed this week. I think Philly puts Dallas to bed, announces themselves. Yeah.
I wish it was 6.5.
Sunday Night Football in Philly. It is. I thought it was 6.5.
I'm looking at FanDuel Sportsbook, and it's 7.5.
Has it moved? Oh, yes. Wait a second. Hold on. Wait a second. That might change it for me. I saw it at 6.5. No, seriously. Yeah. That's dramatically different.
I can't pick it because of the 7.5, even though
I thought it was 6.5. I thought it was 6.5.
Philly will take care of business. How about...
That changes things for me. Go ahead. Make another one.
Vegas is good at this, by the way, Dane. Yeah. I'm going to take Atlanta on the road. I'll continue the streak for the Atlanta Falcons. I think they continue to get it done while Cleveland tries to figure out what the heck is going on there.
You got a minus 6.5 on the road?
Yes, I do. So I know it's a lot to give up for a road game, but I rode Atlanta last week. I'll continue riding Atlanta this week. They blew out Washington. I think they can handle a business right here. Atlanta, as I've said many times, I didn't bury them when they were 1-4. I think they're going to get back to 500 here. I still don't have them making the playoffs, but right now they're the 7th seed in the NFC.
Yep, and we talked about it. We talked about it last week, right? That we could see something in Week 17 that comes down to, listen, that tie for those NFC North teams, the Green Bay and the Minnesota tie, may really mess with Atlanta's playoff chances at the very end. Yeah. You know, but I have you in right now, Atlanta minus 6.5 at Cleveland, the Chargers minus 10 at Oakland. I gave you San Francisco for me. I gave you the Chargers for me. I'm going to put my money where my mouth is. I think this is a trap game for the New Orleans Saints. They just beat the Rams at home, NFC contender. Next week, they got the Eagles at home, NFC contender. We looked at the AFC playoff picture. I think the Bengals can hang on. Maybe New England wins. Maybe New Orleans wins this game, but I'll take the 5.5 points, even without AJ Green. I know I'm out on a ledge here, but I think this is a trap game. Give me Cincy plus 5.5 against New Orleans at home.
It's a bold one.
It is. I know it is, but I got to put my money where my mouth is. Let's go.
Okay.
And so, you got to make a survivor pick as well, Blewett. I'm taking all of it out of this. I haven't picked them yet. I'm taking the Chiefs this week as my survivor pick.
Oh, that's good. To have the Chiefs still around is a good one. Yeah. So I've already used them. I'm going with the Atlanta Falcons, which, yeah, I like them. I think Atlanta and Philly are my two survivor picks this week of the picks that I have left. As far as my third pick, I'll take, you know, I will go back to that New England-Tennessee game, and I'll take the over there. 46.5 seems a little light for me. I understand that if Tennessee's going to win it, it can't be a high-scoring game. So I think they probably... I think they could potentially keep it close, but drop the game, and it'll be over there. 28-20, something like that. I guess it'll be over. So there you go. That's it for Football Friday. Thanks for listening, everybody. You got Carton and Friends coming up. Dana and I will be back late next week. I got a couple of days off at the beginning of the week. So good luck, everybody, and we'll talk to you soon.